This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to be with you. And the opening half hour of the show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, which you need. Difficult, which you don't want, but you may need. Well, guess what? They can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We get going out of the gate today the right way. We're going to talk baseball with the best in the business. That's Tim Kirchen. And Tim, as always, welcome. It is great to hear you on the other end.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve.
I want to talk about Paul Skenes out of the gate because, you know, he's been able to get through, what, six starts to this point in a 2.43 ERA. What's been your impression of how he's been able to, A, go about his business, but also handle the pressure of being the number one guy?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that he has been this good. His college coach told us last year he's ready to pitch in the big leagues right now. As a senior in college, he's been around. He's been in some good and some not so great spots. He is incredibly mature for a guy who just turned 22 years old. But more than anything, is he has overpowering stuff. He has broken records already for velocity for a starting pitcher, and he's six starts into his career. I knew he would be great. I knew he would be great right away, but he's been even better than I thought. Because when you throw this well, this hard, with secondary stuff like he has, and you can command it like he does, it's an amazing, amazing combination.
Tim, when he was at Air Force, he was a catcher. Now, he also pitched. But he was a catcher at Air Force. I know the Air Force people were the ones that said, hey, look, you know, for you to really get to the next level of life, you need to probably go to a place like LSU. But what does that do to the fact that it really isn't tons of mileage on this arm to this point because of that experience?
Yeah, and anyone who was a catcher at one point is good with me because catchers are a different breed, and he pitches like he's a catcher. And that's a compliment because he's used to taking hits and he's used to throwing off balance. And I think the lack of mileage on that arm is hopefully going to lead him in the right direction. And I'm not sure there's anything at this point that's going to slow him down because when he was at the Air Force Academy, apparently he was on the line one day and singing the national anthem or something, and a couple of his teammates, you know, weren't respectful enough to what was going on. And he looked at them and said, this is how we do it here. And he was an underclassman showing them how to properly stand at the line during the anthem. This is what leaders do. And that's what he is. Beyond having great stuff and being incredibly mature, he's amazing. He has amazing leadership qualities for a guy that young.
Yeah, it's because I just had this conversation with David Carpenter, who had been a catcher at one point here. Then he went to the majors eventually with the Cardinals, Astros, Braves as a relief pitcher, and about the benefits of being a catcher and then becoming a pitcher. Let's talk catchers for a moment. JT Realmuto out probably about a month for the Phillies. This is a guy that's tough to replace. What's your sense on what this means to Philadelphia at this point? And is Dave Dombrowski the kind of guy that ever panics over stuff like that?
Well, it's a huge loss. He's one of the two or three best catchers in the game, and his defense is almost unrivaled. And he's going to miss a month, and they don't have a replacement that is going to – I mean, Garrett Stubbs can really catch, and he's a tough little guy, but he's not JT Realmuto. But the Phillies have the best record in the National League. Their starting pitching is tremendous. Their offense is loaded, and it will get more loaded when Trey Turner comes back maybe the beginning of next week. So are they going to miss Realmuto? Absolutely. Is this going to knock them out of first place? Absolutely not, because the Braves aren't the same team that they were last year, and the Phillies are a better team than they were last year. So they can handle this, even though they're going to lose a really good player for a month.
Tim, what's been your thought on the Phillies' starting rotation and what that rotation has meant to allowing this team to put the record together they have?
Yeah, the rotation has the lowest ERA of any rotation in the major leagues. And I thought they had good pitching. It has been great. And Ranger Suarez has been the guy who has gone from a good pitcher to a great pitcher. During October last year, Steve, I was with spent a lot of time with Brad Miller, who was with the Rangers, former player, been around a lot, smart guy. And he just volunteered to me. He said, you watch in 2024, the pitcher that's going to go make a big difference and go from a good pitcher to a great pitcher is Ranger Suarez. And that's exactly what he's done. He went 9-0 in his first 10 starts with an ERA under 1.50. The only pitchers ever to do that are Hoyt Wilhelm and Juan Marichal. That's how great Ranger Suarez has been so far this year. And you put him with Nola and Wheeler and Taijuan Walker. That is a loaded rotation. And when you have a bullpen that's that good right behind him, then you really got something working.
What did he see in Ranger Suarez where he thought he could make that move up?
Right. Well, again, he's another guy who never, ever panics about anything. Right. He's also one of the best fielding pitchers I have ever seen. And his stuff, even though he's not overpowering you at 98 miles an hour, he has such a good idea of what pitching is about, the art of pitching. And that's what Brad Miller saw. Stuff is above average for sure, but the understanding of the art of pitching is way above that.
The Yankees just went through a big series with the Dodgers. Dodgers took 2 out of 3. Now the Orioles are coming up next week. The Orioles have been right there, not quite toe-to-toe, but they're close. What has been your thought about the Orioles and how they're put together at this point?
Well, I love where the Orioles are, except they've had a bunch of injuries to their starting pitching here that has really set them back just a little bit. I mean, John Means had started to throw pretty well, and now looks like he's out for the season. Kyle Bradish was hurt for a while, but he's back, and he's really good. Grayson Rodriguez went on the disabled list for a short time. He's back, and he's really good. And, of course, Corbin Burnes at the top of the rotation. So I think, you know, this team has lost a lot of pitching through injuries, and yet they have recovered. And their bullpen, which was a big concern without Felix Rodriguez, has been Felix Bautista has been very, very good. And, of course, they can score runs with anyone. They can hit home runs with anyone. So they are, to me, the second-best team in the American League to the Yankees, and right now the Yankees are just on fire.
No question. A friend of mine just went to a game between the Rail Riders and the Norfolk Tides. And, of course, the Tides are with the Orioles. And he said Jackson Holliday homered. What struck him, though, is that as impressed as he was with Holliday, he said they've got a couple other prospects that kind of blew him away. What kind of depth have they developed in the Orioles organization, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's the deepest farm system in baseball, that's for sure. And what they've been able to do, because they lost so many games and put themselves in such a difficult spot, they got these high draft choices, and they have made the most of them. It's one thing to get draft choices, but you have to pick the right guy, and then you have to develop that player properly. And the Orioles have done an exceptional job of that. And that puts them in a great spot at the trade deadline, because they're going to have young players that they can deal if they want to. And they were reluctant to do that until this offseason when they said, all right, we need Corbin Burns. And they gave up two good young players to get Corbin Burns. But now they can get more if they got to go get a closer or another starting pitcher. We'll see if they part with another top prospect or two. But they're in a really good spot because they have resources that others just don't have.
I mean, Tim, you and I both know that not everybody can thrive in New York. And the ones that do are end up being spectacular. What has allowed Juan Soto, both not just performance, but personality-wise, to thrive with the Yankees?
Yeah, first off, he's a great hitter. And when you're 25 years old and you have this kind of track record, you don't think anybody can get you out. He's also, you know, he's played in the World Series. He had cleanup in a World Series game at age 20. Three players in history have ever done that. So he is oblivious to the pressure. He loves the bright lights. And the bigger, the better for him. And then once he stepped in that ballpark and saw, I can pull the ball down the right field line, hit a home run here. I'm hitting in front of Aaron Judge in the order. I think he looks at it and says, I am in the perfect place right now. And I would agree, their offense is demonstrably better than it was last year. And it's A, because Judge is having another MVP-caliber season, but also because Juan Soto has shown everyone on that team, this is how you take a professional at-bat. He never gives up a pitch. He never gives up an at-bat. And he has helped everyone else on that team become a better hitter.
Yeah, it looks like the Yankees are taking longer at-bats, like the old days. I mean, the Red Sox and Yankees almost perfected the I'll get you to 100 pitches by the fourth inning. Has Juan Soto had that kind of influence on everybody in the lineup that, hey, look, it's okay to look at a few?
Yes, they were 27th in the league in on-base percentage last year. And as of the other day, they were first in the league this year. And that is what Juan Soto has brought. Now they see him lay off that pitch, you know, 4 inches outside. And instead of chasing it, he takes a walk. They watch him not chase early in the count, swinging a pitch that he shouldn't be swinging at and giving up an at-bat with a weak fly ball to right field. That's what he's shown them. And again, Aaron Judge didn't need to be shown much, but I think even he has benefited from watching Juan Soto swing the bat every day.
Dodgers made a move to pick up Biggio from Toronto. And one thing, when you look at what the Dodgers have done, some of the, quote, role players have not been having big seasons. So we know they're playing well, but where do they see their gaps right now based on what they just did?
Well, basically, Kevin Biggio came for free. So it was a great move because he's got great versatility. He can play second base and third base. He can play the outfield. He's been around. Son of a Hall of Famer. He's been through a lot. And I think he's really going to help the Dodgers as a very valuable utility guy. But I don't think the Dodgers have many holes right now. You know, their starting pitching is going to get healthier once they get Walker Buehler back to where he was, say, a couple years ago. He struggled a little bit coming back from Tommy John surgery. They're going to get Dustin May back. They're going to get Tony Gonsolin back. And, of course, they're going to get Clayton Kershaw back. They may need another bullpen arm, but they have all the resources they need to get that. There's not much the Dodgers need to do. They're loaded now, and they're going to get better from here.
Who or what has surprised you, if anything, so far across the board?
Well, the American League Central has surprised me. I didn't see the Guardians being this good or close to this good. I thought they had pretty good starting pitching, and then when Shane Bieber went down, I said, oh, boy. And I didn't think they were going to score enough runs, and yet they've been a significantly better offensive team than I thought they would be. And where they are in the standings right now is beyond surprising to me. And the Royals are better than I thought they would be also. You know, they lost 106 games last year, and they have played, until recently, exceptionally well. And I think both of those teams are in it for the long haul. I think the Twins are right there, too. But I just love it to see when a team, you know, figures it out. And it looks like the Guardians under Stephen Vogt have figured it out.
Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time and all the time you give us. Very much appreciated.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you. Bye.
The great Tim Kurchin. They don't make him, by the way, any nicer than that guy. He's just a big time guy that is a down to earth guy. No ego? No ego might be the next step up. That's Tim. Todd, great to have you here today. I kind of wish you were here today.
I am here in spirit.
I mean, I'm saying though, like a team, one of your teams being here.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I can't complain. I was on a streak where I think every season for like eight straight, I had a state final. So.
Yeah. I know, but still.
Yeah.
You always kind of miss out on that. We will update the U.S. Open Golf Championship in a moment. We will have Jerry Dulac on later. But we'll update the U.S. Open leaderboard in a moment. This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student-athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student-athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Todd Zalecki in the next half hour. This half hour brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And again, you know, I just ended up purchasing my vehicle there. It's what a great experience all the way through. Chris, everybody, couldn't have been any better. They're going to treat you exactly the same. Ended up with a gem. So we'll talk about the Phillies in the next half hour. They have been, you know, it's interesting, the Yankees and the Dodgers will get all of the publicity. And last week, the Yankees and Dodgers played each other, and the Dodgers took 2 out of 3. But what's great is that the Phillies have just gone about their business, and they're just really good. I mean, really good. You know?
There hasn't even been anything to make fun of my brother about me being a Betts fan. I can't even make fun of him right now.
Unfortunately for you, there's been a lot to make fun of with your team.
That's a whole nother conversation.
That's sad.
Yeah, I know.
And the thing is, the Mets have so much money.
I think his plan was to get Juan Soto, and the more he fits in with the Yankees, the less and less that seems to be going to happen.
I don't know. I think Juan Soto will go to the highest bidder.
Well, he's a Boris guy, so I think that's a pretty good bet, but I don't know. I just can't see this the season the way it's going for the Yankees. I just can't see them not giving him the money. And if they don't, that might be a big mistake.
I'm telling you, he's going to go to the highest bidder.
Mr. Cohen better get his checkbook out.
That's what a Mets fan you hope for.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. All right, let's get into the Phillies now. Todd Zielecki joins us. Hello, Todd. How are you today? Great to have you back.
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Just from a job point of view, how enjoyable has this team been to cover?
They're fantastic. Obviously, you know, as a reporter, you don't necessarily root for anything, but it does make your job a heck of a lot easier when the team is winning and everybody is in a good mood. And it's also nice because people are actually reading your stories and are interested in the team, so you don't feel like you're out there, you know, spending a weekend in Cincinnati or St. Louis writing a story that nobody's going to read because the team's on pace to lose 100 games. That's a totally different situation when the team is on pace to win, you know, 110-plus games. And so it's been a lot of fun. It's really been an enjoyable year.
Now, JT is out for at least a month. Dave Dombrowski said that the other day. His value almost really can't be stated. Do you expect Dave Dombrowski to do anything, if anything? Or will he just wait it out until JT gets back?
I think he's going to wait it out until JT gets back because it's only going to be about 4 to 5 weeks from what they expect. They said there were no surprises yesterday during the procedure, which is good news. So it's kind of what they thought it was going to be. So I think they feel they can live with Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand for a month. You know, they're going to get Trey Turner back, possibly within the next few days. They're going to get Brandon Marsh back, possibly within the next few days. You know, Bryce Harper's playing great. The offense is mostly clicking on all cylinders right now. They have some of the best starting pitching in baseball and in recent memory. And they also have a significant lead over the Braves. So all of that, you put all of that together and you go, can we live a month without JT? It's not ideal, but I think that is something that they can do. And remember, like, they haven't really missed a beat with Trey Turner on the injured list. And, you know, JT's a different position. There's more of a significant drop-off there. But they've played without Bryce Harper for stretches each of the previous two seasons. They played an entire season without Rhys Hoskins. So they have proven that when these types of things happen, they're not just going to crumble over the pressure. And I think Dave Dombrowski recognizes that.
Yeah, and that's really important. What's your thought? Trey Turner's coming back. We know he's a quality player. Is it possible, though, just to be patient because he's been away so long?
In what sense?
Just like, okay, let him work his way back into this thing. He's not going to go out and hit 400 right away.
Yeah, no, I mean, I expect him when he's ready to come back, they're just going to put him out there every day. You know, he was having a really nice season before he got hurt. And, the first few weeks, could they maybe give him an extra day off, you know, maybe give him a day or two off? Possibly. I could see them kind of working him in slowly, but I do when he declares himself healthy, I do expect him to be out there more often than not. But, you know, Rob Thompson has shown that in the past. When a guy does come back from an injury, he might get an extra day here or there. So if there's an off day coming up when Trey Turner comes back, maybe he gives him a day off before or after the off day to give him two consecutive days just to rest to make sure nothing pops up again. Because that's worst-case scenario, right, is that he comes back and then a week or two in, he re-injures the hamstring, which certainly would mean a longer time on the injury list.
And by the way, don't forget about the Philly Show with Todd, Jim Salisbury, Ruben Amaro Jr. It's anywhere you get your podcasts, check them out. They'll give you the great Phillies information you need and Major League Baseball information you need over and over again. The starting pitching. What has stuck out to you about the starting pitching? And to me, it's the quality of innings that they eat up. They're easing the burden on the bullpen. Do you agree with that?
Totally, yeah. That's such a huge thing. You think of how baseball has been going over the past decade, right? It's been trending in the other direction in terms of starting pitching. It's like, wow, they've gone through the order two times. We can't have them face the order three times, so we're going to go to the bullpen. So guys were only going five, six innings, and this rotation is kind of kicking it old school, you know. They're going six, seven innings, sometimes eight innings, and it is really beneficial for the bullpen. I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing such strong seasons from Matt Strom, Jeff Hoffman. Jose Alvarado had a hiccup the other day in London, but he's been pretty solid. So you see those guys having great years out of the bullpen as well. For me, the thing that kind of stands out is in an era of max velocity, guys throwing hard, this isn't that rotation. You know, Zach Wheeler is probably the hardest thrower. Christopher Sanchez is up there, but you know, think of Ranger Suarez, think of Aaron Nola. They have a low 90s fastball. They don't have great fastballs, but they can locate and they can change speeds and they can throw breaking balls and off speed pitches and they can. You know, kind of pinpoint those pitches with their command, and I think those are really important things. So you see that with those guys, they're not just going up there and trying to strike out 15 guys a game. They're trying to get early contact, balls hit on the ground, and let the defense do the work. And it's really, really showing up in terms of, like you said, at the very top there, and how deep they can pitch into games. Because they're striking guys out, but they don't need to strike guys out.
Well, it's interesting because Dennis Eckersley, he was a great starter, then he became a great reliever. Well, he said when he was a starter with Cleveland, he said he was a thrower. When he got to Boston, he said that's where he became a pitcher and understood how to pitch. Are the Phillies putting together the kind of staff that, yeah, you know, it's a copycat thing? Where a lot of teams, they look around and say, you know what, we need more pitchers and not throwers.
Yeah, I think so. It would be great if the Phillies were kind of ground zero on getting baseball back to starting pitching stars and great starting pitching matchups. And I think I think some teams are noticing. I know the Phillies have made a concerted effort to train their minor leaguers to pitch deep into games as much as possible. So, you know, a great example of that is Mick Abel in AAA. Now, he's not having a good year. His command is not great. But they're letting him go out there and pitch. It isn't one of those situations where after, you know, you look at his daily game log and he's three innings, four innings because they're trying to protect his arm. No, they're trying to let him build up an innings count, innings pitched. They're pushing his pitch count as much as they possibly can, because when he comes to the big leagues, if he gets to the big leagues, they want him to be able to go six, seven innings. They don't want it to be, oh, hey, by the way, you're never trained to do this, but now we expect you to do this. And so I do hope and I do think that some teams are looking at the Phillies going, you know what? This actually isn't a bad formula for success. I mean, it did work for the first 100-plus years of baseball. You know, why can't we get back to it?
We mentioned Trey Turner, and we mentioned JT. And so how do you view the depth in the Philly system if they were to run into trouble at a couple of different spots?
Well, I think catching is probably the weakest part. So, you know, when we talked about, is Dave Dombrowski going to go out and do something, I don't think in this month he's going to go out and find another big league catcher. But I do think one thing that would make a lot of sense for him to do, and it would not surprise me, if they went out and tried to find some AAA catching depth, because right now in AAA, it's really thin. They have Aramis Garcia, who's got a little bit of big league time, but he has really struggled offensively this year. He's been a little bit better in the last week, hit a few home runs. I think that is the big concern. You know, if for instance, say JT's injury was worse, or say he got hurt again, say something happened to Garrett Stubbs or Rafael Marchand, well, now you're really, really thin, and that's a really big issue. So that is a bit of a concern at catcher. I do think they are pretty well covered in the outfield and in the infield. You know, in the infield, you have Edmundo Sosa, you have Whit Merrifield. In the outfield, you know, Whit Merrifield can play out there. I think you might see some Edmundo Sosa out there. You have Christian Pache. Mm-hmm. You have David Dahl, who's come up and played well. Jordan Luplo is in AAA with some big league time. He's played pretty well. So I do think position player-wise, they can kind of make things work. Starting pitching-wise, of course, if something would happen, one of the five starters, you can slide Spencer Turnbull in there. Beyond that, I think it starts to get thin. You know, you have David Buchanan, who has some big league time, but he hasn't pitched in the big leagues in several seasons. Tyler Phillips is a prospect that they like. Michael Mercado is a prospect that they really like. He might actually be the first guy up if something should happen, like, you know, one or two starters. So they do have some options there, but I think there's always room to add, again, especially behind the plate.
What's interesting is the Phillies actually beat the Red Sox back to Boston because of a plane problem for the Red Sox getting out of Chicago. But how do you view, I know it's a couple games and each team gave up a home game. I understand it's a big picture view of it, but how do you view the fact that Major League Baseball is playing some games in the regular season overseas like that?
Well, I personally, I got to go over there last week, and I absolutely loved the experience.
Yeah.
Now, I talking to players, coaches, managers, you know, Rob Thompson over there, I think the vast majority of everybody involved really enjoyed the experience. You know, Rob Thompson said, man, if I could come back every year to do this, I 100% would.
Wow.
There were a few players, of course, who are like, ah, boy, there's a lot of off days, and boy, the jet lag, and, you know, but you're going to find that anywhere with anything. I think overall, though, for the growth of baseball, talking to the players, they love the atmosphere. Bryce Harper loved it. Nick Castellanos loved it. A lot of the other players really enjoyed it. And, man, I tell you what, if the Phillies could go back to London every year, and if I could make that an annual work trip, sign me up.
That's great.
Sign me up.
When the Yankees and the Red Sox did it a few years ago, like the games were in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How did the park play out in London this time, in your opinion, compared to a major league park?
Yeah, so it was interesting. The dimensions are really short to center, but the power alleys are a little bit longer.
Okay.
So the first two London series, and then including last year's between the Cubs and Cardinals, a lot of really, really high-scoring games.
Right.
And the theory is that those first two series, the one you mentioned, Yankees-Red Sox and then Cubs-Cardinals, it was later in June, and it was really, really hot in London.
Right.
The temperature in London this past week, this temperature in London this past week was in the 60s, so it was very cool, you know, so it wasn't bad at all. And I think that might have helped keep the ball in the ballpark a little bit. So at the only other thing that I could really say about the field is that the turf itself was very, very spongy. So you saw some kind of like interesting hops and bounces. Players said that they had never played on turf like that. But it wasn't so bad or such a concern that players were griping about it. It was more just like, yeah, this is weird. I have to pay attention to this. I have to really go out there pregame to make sure I kind of know how the ball might hop off the turf so I can field the ball cleanly.
what's been interesting to this point is that the Dodgers and the Yankees, in a lot of ways, have sucked all the oxygen out of the room. Is it your sense that this team likes the fact that they can just go about their business and they're not going to be... I mean, they can just go out and just be the Phillies every day. They don't have to have all the extra attention at this hour.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that they know in baseball they have kind of a target on their backs. But, I do think that they are comfortable in their skin. I don't think that they mind kind of, you know, not being the Yankees or not being, you know, one of these teams like the Dodgers that everybody's, you know, drooling over and all of that. They're very, very focused. But even if they were one of those teams and one of those markets, this team is – I can say this. This team is very, very focused, and they really have their eyes set on the postseason. You know they want to keep playing as well as they possibly can. They want to win the division. They want to get the home field advantage throughout the NL playoffs. But they know that anything can happen in the playoffs, and the job is not finished until you're on a parade float going down Broad Street. And I think that's something they're always keeping in mind as they go through the season.
Todd, there's also the other part. Ronald Acuna's out for the year. Strider's out for the year. The Braves have been hit hard by the injury bug. What was your thought on them as to how it's played out for them to this point?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's a shame that you want the best players on the field at all times. So you want Acuna out there. You want Spencer Strider out there. It would make the baseball a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. And, you know, I feel like the Phillies will tell you too as well, like, yeah, we wish that Acuna was healthy and Strider was healthy, because I think they want to play the best and beat the best to be the best. And it's unfortunate. I'm sure the Braves will have something up their sleeve to try to rebound from this. And, hey, you know what? The Braves are still a really good team. They've been struggling lately. They've had some huge injuries. But as long as they get in, anything can happen. And if you don't believe that, you know, of course, just look at the last two postseasons where the Braves won 100 games each of the last 2 years, and the underdog Phillies wiped them out in the first round in the NLDS.
Don't forget, it's the Philly Show with Todd, Jim Salisbury, Ruben Amaro Jr., anywhere you get podcasts. Todd Zalecki, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Steve. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Todd Zalecki joining us on the show today. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both businesses and athletes. It's all at NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Okay, so U.S. Open, Patrick Cantlay shot a 5-under par today. Really. One shot better than Åberg. Pavone is 2 back. Tony Finau is 3 back. At Pinehurst. But to shoot a 5-under par 65, Cantlay played really well. Now, Sergio Garcia shot a 169.
Haven't heard his name a lot lately.
No. Brooks Koepka started out really hot. He got the 3-under par. He ended up at even 70, so he's still there in the mix. Rory McIlroy, he's even through two, so that's not a big deal there. Tiger Woods, where is he here? Shot 4 over 74, so he's 9 shots back. He's with Dustin Johnson. Woods' problem is that he's got two problems. One is he's 48. Number two, he didn't play enough. I mean, you'll get rusty when you're not playing enough. You'll get into certain situations where you haven't been playing enough. And we all know that the circumstance with him is with the injuries and everything. He can't play a lot. So it's a double-edged sword for him. Cantlay, to his credit, if he stays in the lead, the U.S. Open may end at 10 o'clock on Sunday night. He has a tendency to play a bit on the slow side.
You're saying he's methodical.
He's methodical. Well, today, Mr. Methodical went out in 18 holes and had 6 birdies and 1 bogey. He started, by the way, in the back 9. I mean, he's a heck of a player. He is a really good player. But he's a bit methodical. Hit the ball!
I was going to say, by the time you're on the 8th hole, somebody's stopping you from hitting into the foursome ahead of you to hurry him along.
Will somebody hit the ball? All right, now here's the next one. We talk about this all the time, or we've been talking about it a lot lately, private equity. Well, the Big 12 Conference looking to sell its naming rights to a title sponsor. Okay. The stake would be about 15 to 20% of the league. Okay.
I think I saw for $1 billion.
Yep. $1 billion.
They want to keep the 12, but they're open to losing the big.
Welcome to the CVC Capital Partners 12.
I mean, this is going to take up a lot of adjustment, man.
The CVC Capital Partners 12. Oh.
Oh. Rolls right off the tongue.
Oh, yeah, it really does, yeah. I mean, by the time you're done fitting it on the field, I mean, the field is only 120 yards wide, including the end zones. You may not be able to get the whole name on there. Here we go.
You write small. You can get it between the 20s.
Oh, brutal.
Though for that crew of the Big 12, imagine what the SEC and the Big 10 would be worth.
No. Oh, you got that right.
And I'm sure both are imagining now.
Well, I think they've been imagining for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Live for Life Day here today. Talk about that in the next half hour. But Patrick Cantlay, in a round that took 18 hours, is the leader. The good news for the rest of the field is that he went out early this morning, so now he's cleared it out for everybody.
Everybody else is running now.
They're like, oh, good, okay. Where is the backlog? Oh, Cantlay's out there.